In the late 1990s, when Congress passed anti-terrorism legislation, university scientists fought hard for certain exemptions. They successfully argued that overregulation could limit the progress of scientific research. But after September 11th, the scrutiny that universities fought so hard to fend off is being forced upon them. NPR's Allison Aubrey reports.
Like many academic scientists, Karen Fox carries out rigorous research in a laid-back environment. She's head of the biology lab at the University of South Carolina. She has in her possession nearly 1,000 types of bacteria, including 6 strains of modified anthrax, which she stores in small vials inside her lab's deep freezer. In recent weeks, Fox has restricted access, but for years, the key to the freezer hung on a hook in the lab in plain view.
Anybody who worked in the lab would know where the key was. Now it's locked up in my office.
Intellectual honesty is at the heart of any scientific undertaking. Fox does not suspect the motives of anyone who's ever worked in her lab. She says it's unlikely that anyone could make her modified cultures dangerous, but the FBI has subpoenaed the university, asking for information on all of the roughly 25 people who've worked in the lab in the last 3 years. This scrutiny has shaken Fox's assumptions.
When you're hiring a technician, you don't generally think, "Ooh, I wonder if this person could have extremist views." And I think we need to do more of that.
And it's not just the issue of controlling access to labs. Federal authorities are also asking university scientists how they acquired their cultures of bacteria and with whom they've shared them. It's this line of questioning that dismays scientists and challenges the autonomy that scientists have fought to safeguard. Fox has been collaborating with another anthrax researcher named George Stewart at the Kansas State Vet School. Fox recalls she and Stewart may have swapped cultures in the early 90s, but she says in those days there was no need to keep track.
He may have gotten it from us. It was so many years ago, and nobody cared at that point.
As it turns out, George Stewart recalls he did not get the cultures from Fox, but rather by approaching fellow scientists at conferences. These were not necessarily people he knew personally. Stewart says through the 80s and 90s, this free and easy trading of bugs was common.
Basically, what I did was contact these individuals at scientific meetings and sat down with them and explained what my interests were and why I was interested in their particular mutants, and then they provided it to me.
Today, such unregulated sharing has come to a halt, and the new anxieties have led some universities to get rid of pathogens they've been keeping on campus. Norman Cheville is dean of the vet school at Iowa State. In the days after the first victim of inhaled anthrax died in Florida, the school determined it was best to destroy their anthrax culture collection, used for teaching, not research. Cheville says it wasn't so much the potential danger as it was the cost.
The governor of the state put on a command that any place that had anthrax would be guarded by the highway patrol, and that we'd have to bear the cost of that. That was $30,000 a month, and we'd rather invest that in the educational process than keeping these old strains around, which we didn't use.
The stakes are higher for anthrax researchers at the University of Michigan. They're one of the leading centers studying anthrax in humans. Researcher Phil Hanna worries the heightened state of alert will lead to cumbersome regulations that hinder science. He says the open sharing of information and cultures are critical to scientific progress.
What happens is you're doing a series of studies, and if somebody else tries to confirm those studies or do something similar, but it doesn't use your strain, you're going to get conflicting and very confusing results.
Hannah suspects this time it will be very difficult to find the right balance between government oversight and scientific freedom. Allison Aubrey, NPR News, Washington.